Welcome to the CFC Jacks Midweek Podcast, where we discuss topics related to becoming a fully devoted, Spirit-empowered Christ follower. We hope that wherever you are today, you'll be encouraged by the truths discussed in this podcast.
Well, welcome to Q&A. We're so glad you're joining us this morning. In just a moment, you will see there it is. Perfect. The number across the bottom of the screen. So you can text in your questions from the sermon this morning. We have some that have come in already. And Ryan, we're glad you're here. And we have a guest for you to introduce this morning.
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys. We also have Matt Blythe here with us today. Matt is a good friend of mine. He serves in the junior high ministry, the middle school ministry, and often in the college ministry as well. Matt and I have had many conversations when it comes to, can I trust the Bible? And the cool thing about Matt is, many cool things about Matt, but one of them is he has some degrees behind his name, many more than me. And Matt has a degree in theology, in ministry. He has a doctorate in theology as well, and he has a master's in languages. So I always love any time I get to talk with Matt when it comes to this, and here's another perfect time to do so. So it's great to have you, Matt.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
Yep. Cool. Sweet.
Awesome. You guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Woo-hoo. Let's do it.
All right. So first question here, as you were wrapping up the sermon, you were talking about kind of application to today's life. And that's where this question's coming from, I think. It says, since the Bible is written so long ago in a different culture, how can it really still apply today?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. What I love about that question is I think the person behind it is asking some really good questions, and specifically, it indeed was written in an older culture.
Right.
But the cool thing about the Bible is although the context is in an older culture, the principles transcend cultures. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, you know, mm-hmm. like when Jesus is sitting with his disciples and they're watching the giving in the temple and they see a widow show up and give little, right? That's a very, very specific cultural place. However, the principle there is the recognition of she gave so much, she sacrificed so much, and Jesus elevates that. And that happens today, though we're not throwing coins in little, you know, trumpet-shaped offering plates and stuff like that. It looks different, but the principles still carry. And so personally, although the context, and it's important to know the context, the principles we find in the Bible indeed carry through time. So
the heart issues are still the same for humans.
Yes. Yeah.
We still have the same heart issues there.
Yep. Yep.
So you also talked about the blessed life through obedience to Scripture. So, and you touched on this some, but I'm sure there's other questions that'll, people still stirring in their minds. Yeah. If obeying the Bible leads to a blessed life, how does that account for hardships in life when we do obey it?
Yeah. So basically when hard times come, is that blessing?
Right.
Yeah. I would encourage anyone who this is a question, a true question on their mind, to read the book of 1 Peter. Mm-hmm. We're currently walking through that with our college ministry. And in the end of the fourth chapter, Peter actually reveals that hardship have tremendous opportunity to bring blessing directly from the Father. A faithful God is actually working even in hard times, suffering times. And so I could give you a long reason, but just go read, I think it's after verse 11 in chapter 3, and it's a fantastic explanation that reveals actually hard times are some of the greatest proponents of growth in our own spiritual journey. And I think many of us could recognize that.
Oh, yeah.
To go through something hard, to endure it, and to look back and recognize how a faithful God was still present in it is just really cool. So I don't know if you have any thoughts here, Matt.
No, other than there's a huge difference between hard times with somebody that is following the Lord and applying the principles of Scripture and somebody that's going through hard times without the knowledge of God or without applying it. And there's two different types of hard times in that. And there's great blessing in going through the normal hard times of life, applying the principles from Scripture.
Absolutely. And it really is a gift of the Lord, knowing that those hardships are not a waste. It's not just for randomness. There's purpose in it, and it's for His glory and our good. And it's not easy, sometimes easy to recognize that or acknowledge that in the heart.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's a gift.
It's being
used for our good.
That's good.
Next question here. Christians believe the Bible because they read the Bible. How do you know that the Quran is wrong when you have not read that book or the book of Hinduism or other religions' books?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. How do we know? How do we know we're right? You know, personally, I mean, when I was in Bible school, we had to read multiple other religious texts. So the Quran was one that we did end up reading. And our professor, I wouldn't say to his detriment, but actually asked us to read with an open mind. Huh. And now, could you do that without any bias? Probably not. But I actually wanted to understand why many people actually hold this as their holy book. Mm-hmm. And there was things in it that I understood. You know, I would be slow to look at it and say, you're silly for believing that.
Right.
Personally, I believe there's another way, a right way to God. But it was in the reading of it. And I had some history reading the Bible much before my college days. And so kind of this parallel consideration of how do I attain the life I was made to live through relationship with God, the Bible made more sense to me. And I thought it actually was more cohesive as well. And so I currently just stayed on the track of following Jesus and didn't find this big. So I guess to answer their question, in my experience, that's what pulled true. But actually, there's just things when you compare both books that I personally think kind of pull towards letting the Bible be the guide of your life. But be tough to like pull through each and every point, but maybe you have some thoughts here.
Well, when you're asking if something's true, you're looking at internal and external evidences. So when we come to Scripture, there is an internal evidence where the Bible stands as an authority and claims to be that. And then you also look at the external evidences of language and history and archaeology and even fulfilled prophecy and things where you can look at that and have such a high degree of confidence in the truth of Scripture. If you apply that same metric to the Quran, you find lots of discrepancies with history and with archaeology and even with the relationship between chronological biblical characters. And it doesn't have the same appeal to reality as far as accuracy in history and accuracy in those other disciplines. So there's an internal and there's an external evidence when you approach something like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
That's interesting. That's a question I honestly haven't thought to ask. And so I think that's a really good question.
Yeah, yeah.
As you were preparing for the sermon, was there any part of it that was a difficult question for you to ask or like an area that you had really not pursued research in before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I remember my time at CIU studying the manuscripts and whatnot, and it was tough for me to have to jump back in, and there's a lot of technical things there. So wanting to be correct and true and not mislead with data was something that was a challenge because there's just so many things at play and you got to juggle as you tackle through that. But Matt was very helpful for me in terms of what do the manuscripts show us? What do they reveal to us? And does it actually increase our confidence? And so, but actually I'm curious, Matt, in your own study, both in the academic world and in the personal world, has there been things that maybe things that was spoken about today, but maybe even outside some reasonings that you're like, yeah, my confidence, this is the word of God has increased.
Yeah, I think there were two things. One of them is when I was studying the original manuscripts, it was only 60, 70 years ago, we had very, very few, and they were old. They were 800 years AD, 1200 AD, and we didn't have a lot of newer manuscripts, and we were basing our translations from these manuscripts that were 1,000 years after the fact. But in the last 60 to 70 years, we have found the majority of the manuscripts that we have, some of them going back to the first century, AD 135. In fact, we have 60 that were before AD 130. And then you go to AD 200, we have another 60 and another 120 when you get to 400. And the accuracy of the old manuscripts to the newer manuscripts is so airtight that even scholars like Bart Ehrman, who are not followers of Jesus, would say there's no issue of the doctrines we have today are the doctrines in the first century, the Bible we have today, Bible in the first century. That is one of the things that really boosted my faith in the text. The other thing was looking at the fulfilled prophecy, it would be like if an ESPN commentator Tim Tebow, called every football game for every season for 60 years, and then he called tomorrow's game, if you were the betting sort, you'd be a fool not to bet on it. So those are the things when I look at scripture that really boosted my confidence.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. And it's cool, too, to see even the authors in the New Testament recognized each other's writings as inspired. You know, it's like Paul was reading Peter's, and Peter's was, and they're referencing it even in the scriptures. And so we just have good data, and it's not hard to have confidence that this is indeed from God personally. So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Question. So out of the translations that are available today, which is the most accurate?
Yes.
It's Ryan?
Ryan?
No. I'll tell you what my professor said. You should read many translations, not just one translation. Of course, many translations attempt to do different things. Mm-hmm. And so we have some translations that are paraphrase. Like in NIV is more thought-for-thought translations, so translating concepts and thoughts. And then you have translations like the NASB, which is a literal word-for-word translation. The NIV kind of cares that you know the thought that's being communicated. The NASB doesn't seem to care. I'm just going to translate and they do, but it's kind of a little bit of a joke that they translate word-for-word. And so when I do personal study, I read the NASB. Personally, but I'll often reference when something tough surfaces that I don't know what's trying to be said, I'll pull up a couple different thought-for-thought translations. So I wouldn't by no means pick one, but they all are helpful in terms of studying and meditating on the word personally. So I don't know if you have anything to add here.
No, I basically do the same thing. The ESV is a pretty accurate translation. I prefer, like you, the NASB when I'm studying. And if there's four or five different translations that you can get and read them all side by side, and sometimes they can pull out, different thoughts. But I, like you, NASB is my favorite.
Yeah, which is what our church uses too.
Yes, that's primarily what is what we teach out of here. And mm-hmm. So I know when you guys are prepping for teaching, there's so much content that you could put in. Is there something you didn't have time for that you would want to share?
Yeah, it would open up a can of worms that would not be helpful. Not helpful in the sense of simply not helpful because of time, which I find how our Bible came to be incredibly fascinating to study, of how early church fathers did not pick what books were God's word, but just recognized what books were God's words.
Yeah.
And I think that's so cool. Like if you kind of do some study in the council, there's a big question. You know, we recognize which books are authoritative, but like a Gospel of Thomas shows up and they ask the question, is this an authoritative book? And there, you know, you read it and you find out the Gospel of Thomas, it says, in order to be saved, if you're a woman, you have to be a man. You know, there's things like that. It's like, that contradicts so many already accepted authoritative books at that time. And so I love to see how the Spirit worked wonderfully through these men these were already authoritative, you know?
Yeah.
And so personally, I couldn't get into that. And but it's just kind of fun to look at that and consider. So, but
yeah.
Any thoughts there? I know you've done the same thing.
No, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
If I was, I loved the way you organized the message today and the way you walked through the different reasoning. I don't know that time would allow anybody to add anything to it.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to dive deeper in any of these areas that you covered, do you have resources you guys would recommend, either podcast or books or other references?
Yeah, Columbia International University did a fantastic Authority of Scripture Week about a year ago. If you just want to email me, I can send those to you. There's a guy named Mounts who also wrote a fantastic Mounts. I think it's N with his name. I use that for a lot of my research as well, which is just basically, can I trust the Bible? And I'm sure you have a long list as well. But
Yeah. Anybody that's interested, if you go to Dallas Theological Seminary's podcast and you look through anytime Dan Wallace is speaking with Dr. Bach, it will be an incredible – he's the Indiana Jones of the New Testament manuscript world. And the projects he's working on, the things he's discovered, just one thing, he was looking at a codex that was copied back in 500 AD or some around that time. And in the note, the monk who was copying it wrote, "When you read this, the hand that writes it will be rotting in the grave, but these words will go to the end of time." And he's got all these stories and things where you study and see all this. And that's at Dallas Theological Seminary. And they've got podcasts and another website. And it's you can get lost in it.
That's really cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's really awesome. Oh, yeah. Okay, I want to go find that podcast now. That's cool. Awesome. We'll so appreciate all the hours poured into preparing for this. Really appreciate it. And Matt, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much for all of your questions. Really appreciate those. And if you did have any questions, it's Ryan T at cfcjacks.com. If you are wanting to get more information from the CIU, what was it called?
Authority
of Scripture Week. There you go. So send that in. He'll send it to you. I hope you guys have a great afternoon.
Cool. See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CFC Jacks podcast. Be sure to watch as we release new teachings weekly, along with additional content during the week. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cfcjacks.com. Thanks for listening.